So, it's so good to see y'all. I talked to a lot of people about getting back together live, and a lot of them said, you know, I'm really going to miss just rolling out of bed, making my coffee, wearing my jams, and tuning in and watching a sermon. So I thought, here you go. And if you want, you can hold your phones up in video mode, and you can watch me on your phone if you feel more at ease that way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be back. I got tired of hugging the television every time someone popped on and said hi. I'd get up and hug. Hi, Luke. No, I really didn't do that, but it is really good to be back. We are living in times that are definitely times that I never thought I'd ever see, but it is what it is. But you know what? Life goes on, and it just looks a lot different. But I have some good news. I don't know about you. I have gotten to the point where I won't even turn on the news anymore. It's so stinking depressing. It's like, holy smokes. And so it's like, I refuse to do it. And I have my email that I have to check every day pretty much for work. And it's on Yahoo. And I don't know how to get it to go straight to my mail without the Yahoo front page popping up and just horrible headlines and everything. But life does go on. And I've got some good news that I want to share. Anybody up for some good news? Okay, I know I am. So I am proud to announce the engagement of Hannah and Colton. So there you go. There's some good news for you. I would also like to thank all of the helpers who have been helping around the church, getting it deep cleaned, and this church is cleaner than it's ever been. So feel good about that, and a special thank you to Belinda, who has put in a lot of extra hours, and and now we're doing the bath. Not we're doing. Belinda's basically doing the bathroom all by herself. So. No, but she has to deal with the contractors, so she's been putting in a lot of extra time and phone calls, and so a special thank you there. But we are living in times that can test a person. I don't think they mention a whole lot about this, but suicide rates during this time has gone way up, skyrocketing. I mean, it is affecting people's emotional health. It's affecting families, it's affecting communities, it's affecting neighborhoods, and we're all being affected, some worse than others, during this time. And I wondered why God said that we needed to do the wall builders and the discipleship class for so long. And I believe he was training us to get through times like this. It's times like this that we really do need to lean on God and our faith to get through these difficult times. And the Bible often talked about testing. And here at New Hope Christian Center, our mission is, if you don't know it by now, I'll go ahead and read it for you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples right before he ascended into heaven. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So he said, I have taught you what I want you to do, how I want you to live your lives, the things that I want you to do, and I want you to pass that on to the believers who will come. And we fall into that category. He was talking to us, modern day, saying, remember my commandments, remember to obey them. And it's interesting that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, God says almost the same thing to the Israelites. He says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. So this says here that God gave them his law on Mount Sinai, and then they spent 40 years in the wilderness being tested by God to see if their faith was true. He tested them. And when it says that I humbled you and tested you in order to know what was in your heart, it wasn't so that God knew what was in your heart. He already knew what was in their heart. It was so that they would realize where their hearts were, so that they would be tested, the heat would be turned up, and the testing of their faith and their heart would reveal to them things that they needed to work on. And the word test in Hebrew is nasa, and it's the title of today's message. And it means to put to the proof or test. To put to the proof or test. So when God tested them, I'm a visual person, and the first thing that popped into my mind was, I don't know if any of you have ever been really hungry, and you go into the fridge and you find some hot dogs way in the back, and you don't remember buying them, but you're hungry. So what do? You open up the package, and you sniff it. What you're doing is nasa. You are testing with your nose to see if I should eat these. You do it with milk too. You pull the milk out. You look at the date. If it's close, it might be okay. What do? You open it, put your nose to it. And what's interesting is how many people go, does this smell good to you? Like, you smell something bad and then you want to share it with everyone else. Am I right? But what you're doing is you're testing it. You're putting it to the test. You're proofing it to see if it's going to stand up or if it's going to make you sick later. Well, God did the same thing, and the word nasa means to test or put to the proof. And Jacinius's Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, for those scholars out there, it says this: God is said to try or prove men by adversity in order to prove their faith. You see, we're going to go through difficult times in our lives. And sometimes we go through difficult times because we've made poor choices, and we are suffering the consequences for those poor choices. I know none of you have had that experience. I have had plenty in my life. But we go through these difficult times, and God will use difficult times to test your faith, to test your faith in him. What is it that you're going to rely on? What is it that you're going to focus on when things get difficult? Are you going to focus on the circumstances that seem to be completely out of control? Or are you going to keep your eyes on him and fixed in your faith? James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Consider it pure joy when you go through times of crud in your life. Now that's hard to swallow, is it not? I don't remember the last time I got into a circumstance where I was really not happy, maybe angry or hurt, and I looked up to God and said, thank you, God. This is pure joy. But when we can look at those times and say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? When Belinda and I have gone through difficult times in our lives, the first thing we do is we get on our knees and go, okay, God, is this us? is this, did we bring this on ourselves? Is this circumstances? Or are these a penalty for things that we've done? And if not, then show us what we're supposed to learn through these times. See, we will be tested. Every single one of us will be tested. In these last couple weeks, or last couple months, I should say, we've all been tested. Our lives have changed. Things are different. I know some grandparents that did not get to see their grandkids for like 2 months. And that is a tragedy. Other grandparents cheated. Just kidding. And I don't blame you. But we've all been tested. And so I want to go into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 18. And this is Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's one of the parables that he listed. And it's called the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold, depending on the translation that you have. But it says this: "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." You see, when Jesus taught in parables, he was using a regular, everyday occurrence to try to explain the kingdom of heaven, what was going on in the spiritual realm. So he used everyday, normal things to teach spiritual lessons. And this one, he starts out and he says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey." Well, for those who had ears to hear, Jesus is that man. Jesus was saying, "I am that man, and I am about to go on a journey. I am about to leave you." You see, his disciples spent 3.5 years walking with him. They shared life together every single day. They worshiped together on Saturdays in the synagogue. They lived their lives together, and Jesus was taking those opportunities to teach them how to be disciples, and so that they could teach it to other people. And so Jesus inserts himself into this parable. He says, it's just like a man about to go on a journey. And he says, he calls his own slaves, and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, the word slave there means something completely different than how we think of slaves today. You see, we understand that those are not really slaves, because a master back on a plantation would never have entrusted his slaves with his possessions. So the term here is someone who is working for, who is part of the family, and they're working for the master, and the master is entrusting his most precious possessions with his slaves. And Paul said, "I am enslaved. I am in chains for the gospel." He was saying that this is me. I am enslaved to Jesus. I owe him everything. My life belongs to him, and he can do with it however he wishes. So this is the picture that we're getting of the talents. He's about to go on a journey. He calls his own slaves, and he entrusts his possessions to them. So he gives some more than he gives to others. And then it says, then he went away. He goes away. So that the slaves are on their own to do with those precious possessions what they've been taught to do. And we see that 2 of them do a very good job of increasing what God or the master had given them. And one of them took what the master had given him, and he dug a hole, and he put it in there, and he didn't do anything with it. So he was wasting his talents, and that's where we get the term talent. Talents are those things that God has given to us so that we may increase them and be a blessing to other people. But it's been difficult the last few weeks or last few months to do those things, to be a blessing. What have you done with what God has given you? What we learned through the Wall Builder series, what we learned through the discipleship class, what did you do with those things? Did you take them and increase them and be a blessing to people when you had the opportunity? I don't know about you, but I think some people, when they put a mask on, it makes them angry. They're mad at you, they're mad at the world. But what have you done? I was, when this first started, I went to Walmart, because there's always a good sermon that I can take from Walmart. But there was this, all the shelves were empty. It was the run on toilet paper and spray bottles and hand sanitizers and soap and whatever. And this little old lady, she was wearing her mask, and she was trying to reach some paper plates that were on top of the shelf. And people were walking by, just walking by, watching this lady struggle to get paper plates. And I thought, this is ridiculous. You put a mask on and it means that nobody else exists, I guess. And so I went over there and I walked up to her and I go, "Can I help you?" And she looked at me and she goes, "Thank you for noticing that I needed help." I went, "That's sad. That is sad." We, as a culture, have tended to lose our manners because of the situation that we're in. And it's sad and it's wrong. See, all those people that normally may have been courteous, they took what God had given them and they dug a hole and they put it in the hole and says, "Well, it's COVID time, so I don't have to worry about this." And they wasted it. See, we still have opportunities to use what God has given us to bless other people. It's a lot more difficult now, but it still can be done. And it's still required. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, making sure and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you," unless it's a COVID crisis. And then you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to love your neighbor. You don't have to be kind. You don't have to be considerate. You don't have to do any of that because everyone's going to wear a mask and it makes people angry. No. See, we're supposed to use our talents no matter what, no matter what the circumstances that we find ourselves in. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 says, and I think of, okay, Lord, how are we supposed to do this? How do we do this? And it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life." You see, the master with the talents, he gave them to the servants. He gave them everything that they would need in order to produce more fruit, in order to produce more talents. He did not require them to go out, find what they needed, acquire it, and then go to work. He provided them with everything that they needed. And God has given us everything that we need to make sure that we get through these difficult times and that we can still be blessings to other people. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them that you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. See, we're supposed to be different. And let me ask you this. We all know that in darkness, a small light shines even brighter. I could light a match up here right now with all these lights. You would probably be able to see the flame. But if I turned all the lights off and closed everything down, and I don't know if you've ever been in here at night when all the lights are off, it's dark. But if I lit that match then, you could see it from a mile away. So he's saying, that we participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires. Let me ask you this. Have you become more like the world the last 2 months? Or has your light gotten brighter? You see, by simply asking if the little old lady needed help, that was a small light in a dark place. Or have we become more like the people that just walk by? Don't notice. You're on your own. I'm on my own. We're doing this thing separately. I've got enough toilet paper to last me the rest of my life. I don't, but a lot of people for some reason thought that there was going to be a huge diarrhea breakout. I don't get it. All right. For this very reason, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. You've heard this verse for the last 4 years. And we are to be growing. It doesn't say, make sure you add these things unless there's a COVID crisis. No, we're to add these. And why? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I think there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who have become ineffective and unproductive the last 2 months. They've allowed the circumstances of what's going on in a chaotic world to dictate how they behave to their neighbors, how they behave to other people. Josiah. He's so cute. You know, Pastor Aaron preached just a little while ago about producing fruit. Are you producing fruit? And in the Old Testament, there was a thing called a voluntary sacrifice. And let me read out of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "Then celebrate the festival of harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from him." See, he didn't say, gather up stuff that you need and I'm not going to give it to you. He says, this is a voluntary offering of things that I have already blessed you with, and I want you to bring it back, and it's a blessing to other people. See, when they brought voluntary offerings, it was a praise offering. It was a thank offering to God, saying thank you for the harvest. They understood that what they had was from him. Just like the talents. The master gave the talents to the servants. In the Old Testament, God blessed their crops and said, I want you to bring a voluntary offering, one that comes from your own heart, not one that you feel that you have to do by obligation, but one that you bring and you offer back to God, saying, thank you for the blessings in my life. And when they brought those offerings, their family and all of the Levites that were working in the temple or the tabernacle got to share in the blessings. They had a big feast, and people would bring their offerings, the harvest, and say, thank you, God. Because God's blessings are not just for us, they're for other people as well. That's why God was, the master was so angry with the one that dug a hole and put his talent in there. Basically, it wasn't for him. It was to be a blessing and multiply blessings for other people as well. And so we produce fruit in our lives on a daily basis, or we don't. So just thinking about this last 2 months, if God said, okay, I want everybody on this Sunday, whatever today is, I want everybody to bring to the church their basket of the fruit that they have produced in their life in the last 2 months. And it could be anything. It could be, this could have been that Sharon Norris sent me a text. Small, short little text. Blessed my socks off. But that was this. This was me helping that little old lady get some paper plates. But if you took an inventory of the last 2 months, what would your basket look like? Would it be full? Thank you, Lord, for the blessings in my life. And here, look what it has produced. Or is your basket half full? Or does your basket have a shriveled up grape in the bottom? But see, like Aaron's message said, we are supposed to produce fruit. And God gives us a warning in Luke chapter 3, verse 9. And he says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So I had to take an inventory of my last 2 months and said, okay, Lord, what do I have to offer you? What do I have to bring to you this day? And is it good? Because I know that God has continued to bless me even in these difficult times. I know God has continued to bless other people in these difficult times. And sometimes we don't realize the blessing that we've received. And when we receive those blessings and we're not thankful for those blessings, we're taking those blessings and we're digging a hole and we're burying them in the ground. So what do we have? What do we have to offer? What do we have in our basket to offer God as a sacrifice of thanksgiving today? I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. But it made me stop and think. Because like when the first week of this COVID thing happened, basically they shut our office down. I was working 2 days a week. And I had a lot of time on my hands. As some of you did, and some of you kept working. But I had a lot more time on my hands. And after the first week, I kind of took a little inventory because I like getting up at 8 o'clock, rolling out of bed, having my coffee, thinking about what I was going to do that day. And then I realized how many times I had said, if I just had more time, I'd study more Hebrew. If I just had more time, I would do this. I'd do this and I'd do this. Now, don't get me wrong. My wife and I got a ton of things done around the house that we've always said, we need to do that. Well, if we have more time, we'll do that. But I found myself getting lazy in my faith for those first few days. Like I just want to lay around in my pajamas. Don't have to go anywhere. Why not? And then I just decided, I thought, no, this is not what God's called me to do. I'm still supposed to produce fruit. Good days, bad days, difficult days, cruddy days. There's still fruit to be produced. And so my challenge to you is the challenge that I took to myself 8 weeks ago, is what am I doing? What am I doing to connect on a greater level with God? What am I doing to produce fruit so that I can be a blessing to other people? What's in your basket today? What do we have to offer him? And that's my challenge to you, is look in your basket. What's there? Amen? Please stand. we live in a day and age that I never thought I'd ever see. I told the first service that as long as Pastor Lee was pastor here, we never shut down a Sunday. And Belinda asked, well, if the weather's bad enough, are we just going to shut down on a Sunday? I says, absolutely not. I will. Josiah. I said, nope. If I can get to the church and only one other person can get to the church, then we'll have church. And now we've been closed 8 or 9 Sundays. I never thought I'd see the day. We live in a time that hate seems to be at the forefront of everything. We live in a time that says you need to choose between this or that. And I'll talk more about that next week with my message. But we live in a time as believers of an incredible opportunity to prove that we're different. There's enough hate out there. It doesn't belong in the church. And we need more than ever . It just breaks my heart when our culture says, well, because of the color of your skin, you're racist. Or if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. Or you're a prevalent in our world today. And we as Christians need to be more diligent than ever on how we treat one another. What we say, what we post on social media, we have to be above reproach. We are called to love one another, and that means everybody. Even if we don't agree with their stance, even if we don't agree with their politics, even if we don't agree. And I see more and more, and I don't have a Facebook for this very reason, because I believe some people will post things that they would never say to a person's face. Hateful, spiteful things. And I know some very close friends of mine that get wrapped up and sucked in to the hate that is being thrown at us every day. And they'll get into things online, get into fights online, and it's just absolutely wrong. Because when we react and act the same way that the world does, we are no better than the world. And you know what? We're not better than the world. But we are blessed by a God that loves each and every person, no matter what their creed, no matter what their color, their political stance, no matter what. And when it says love your neighbor, there's not an asterisk by it. Love your neighbor unless they agree with you. Love your neighbor unless they wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Love your neighbor unless they do this or that or... No, it says love your neighbor. That's what we're supposed to do. And we have so much more opportunity to do it now, in this day and age, because a simple little gesture of kindness shows up big time, because it is dark. Our culture, our country is dark, and it's not getting any lighter. Josiah? So we have an opportunity with just simple gestures, simple acts of kindness, that we can impact someone in such a huge way by just doing little things. Look for opportunities to produce fruit in your life. Little things that the masses are not doing right now. Just turn on the television, people. And then turn that puppy off as fast as you can. Because there ain't nothing but garbage streaming through the airwaves and the cables. We have an opportunity. Let's use and make the most of these opportunities. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that I've had a gut check. And I just pray that I would take this testing that surfaced and revealed things in my own heart, that I can now allow you to work on those things that need to be worked on. I can rely on you and your strength, and I know that you have given me everything that I need to produce fruit for your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to walk in that, to produce fruit, so that we have an overabundance. And that people will see that you are good because of the things that we do to lift you up. We pray this, that you would be with us. Every Bible-believing church that is meeting over the airwaves, streaming, whatever, in person, let your hand be upon them. And everybody said, amen, you are dismissed. Have a great day.